Well, it's great that you have made the decision to come to church this morning. We also once again welcome our sister church, Lytham, Hope Church over there in Lytham. Let's give them a round of applause this morning. Welcome, Lytham. It's great that you're able to kind of be with us again for today. And some of the exciting things that I believe that God wants to do, not just here in Bebbington or on the Wirral, but actually over there in Lytham too. And we're going to have a great morning together. What I want to do is that this morning, just for people that weren't here last week, for people that maybe were away or you didn't kind of hear what was said last week, I'm going to very quickly kind of go through just what I believe that God told me. And what I believe I wanted to share with you this morning. The verse of scripture that I believe that is key and crucial to us here at Life Church and at Hope Church this year is found in chapter 49, verses 18 to 20. And it'll come up on the screens and it says these words. It says, "Look around you and see, for all your children will come back to you as surely as I live, says the Lord. They will be like jewels or bridal ornaments for you to display. Even the most desolate parts of your abandoned land will soon be crowded with your people. Your enemies who enslaved you will be far away. The generations born in exile will return and say, 'We need more room. It is crowded here.'" And what I spoke about is the fact of is that I believe that this year is going to be a year of restoration. It's a year of restore, where I believe that God is going to give back to us what maybe has been taken. Stuff that has laid dormant will once again come back to life. And that actually I believe that this year is going to be a year where people who are away from God at the moment, maybe people who were once in a relationship with Him but are no longer kind of going on with God, are going to come back to God. And both here and both in Lytham, the Church of Jesus Christ will be a place that is too crowded because there's so many people in our midst. Now, if you can't get excited about that, I don't know who can. Because I believe that God has called us to begin to rebuild walls that have been broken down and be a people that restore what has been lost. There isn't enough time, but I gave you some scriptures last week with regards to the whole thing of restoration. We looked at Joel 2:25. We looked at Jeremiah 30 verse 17, Job 42 verse 10, Psalm 51, 12, Psalm 71 verse 20 and 21, etc., etc. We haven't got time to go into them. If you want to kind of hear all about that, I would suggest you go on the podcasts and you can listen to that again. But what I want to do is just for these few moments is once again just reiterate what I said last week with regards to restoration and some of the things that happen when we begin to go on this journey of restore and restoration. The first thing is this, is that restoration brings hope. Restoration brings hope. When you see somebody or you see a healing or you see something happen that was once in disarray and now it is back to how it should have been, how it was intended to begin with, let me tell you, it breeds something of hope. I was talking last week about how when you have a car and it is given into the hands of someone who can restore it, actually it might be a process of time, and we'll come onto that in a moment. But what it does is that when you start on something, you have a hope that actually it is going to be finished. It brings something of, yes, we can see something happen here. So number one is restoration brings hope. Number two, restoration brings life. Restoration brings life. once again, when you understand that when you see something that is out of condition and you breathe life into it, just like a car, when you see the restorer come alongside it and begin to work on it, it brings life back to something that was old, that was no longer useful. I spoke about the fact of is that we have, I'm not so much now, maybe, well, not in our house anyway, but, you know, we went through a phase of buying old furniture and then doing it up. Just us that did that then. Well, not even us, just Rachel that did that. And what used to happen is that she had me driving all over the Northwest once. Once was enough. Driving over the Northwest, buying things like wardrobes, and then she'd put paint all over them and then rub the paint off. To me, it's bonkers, but that's what people did, and whitewash it, and then they'd put it in the room and go, oh, doesn't that look nice? And I go, well, really, it could do with a lick of paint. But, you know, but it was that kind of thing, you know. And what we do is that when we restore something, it brings life to it. It brings something of a newness of life, just like with an old car. And you see an old car that is fully restored. It breathes life into something that wasn't really working. The third thing was this, is that not only does restoration bring hope, not only does it bring life, but it is also timeless. Nobody is beyond restoration. Nobody. Some people think that, well, you've gone too far and you will never, ever know. Let me tell you, God's love and God's perfect plan for your life and my life is to be restored. That is timeless. It doesn't matter whether you're a small baby, so to speak, or whether you are older in life. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter when it is. It can happen at any time. I think that so often we think, well, it can't happen anymore. Let me tell you, there is no lost hope. There is no person that has gone too far that are outside the bounds of God's love. That everybody can find something of hope and peace and life in God. Restoration is timeless. The fourth thing was this, is that restoration is a process. Restoration is a process. 9 times out of 10, restoration doesn't happen overnight. Doesn't. We want it to, but it doesn't. I won't embarrass him. Well, I will, Andy. I'll just embarrass you for a second. Is that Andy, a few years ago, and to be quite honest with you, during the week, I thought about this, and I thought I should have got some pictures of your Landy, because it would have been a perfect illustration, but I didn't. But Andy kind of, he restored an old Land Rover, right? And when he bought it, even I was like, oh, gee whiz. Bit of a waste of money there. I think everybody did, including Sue. What have you done there? But it took, it over a process of time, he restored it back to what it was. In fact, he made it better. But it didn't happen overnight. It took blood, sweat, and tears. And I think that so often in life, what happens is that we think that, you know, we come to Jesus and we pray, well, everything's going to be okay. Do you know what? Sometimes everything isn't going to be okay, but ultimately it will be. But restoration is a process. It happens over time. The first point of actually beginning the restoration process, I believe, is when we give our lives to Jesus. That is the first point. That isn't the ending. That's the beginning. But so often we think, well, we'll give our lives to Jesus and then everything is fine. No, it doesn't work like that. The restoration is something of a process that happens over time. Do you know what? There won't be anybody in this room that is totally restored until we get to heaven. The restoration process for any Christian takes place over the whole of their lives. But we want a quick fix. We live in a society that is, well, we can have it now, have it now, have it now. No, no, no. We need to understand that this whole thing of restoration is something that not only brings hope, not only brings life, not only is timeless, but it is also, it can happen at any time, is also something that will take a lifetime, and it is a process. So what I want to do this morning is for both you guys here and the guys in Lytham, is to talk, I believe, how we can put flesh on the bones of what I said last Sunday. This morning isn't going to be, so to speak, an inspirational preach, but it will be kind of information for you that you can take away and that you can chew over. And it's some of the initiatives that we are going to see happen here in the church this year to help make the restoration begin. So some of the stuff that I'm going to be talking about this morning is incredibly practical. If you have come this morning thinking that there's going to be a huge kind of, wow, really there isn't. I do pray that some of the things that we talk about this morning will excite you. I pray that this morning that whatever we talk about will help you. And ultimately, this whole thing called church, at Life Church anyway, is only going to work if you guys get on board. So if you don't, and it's the same in Lytham, if you guys don't get on board and help both John and Ruth and the leadership team there and me in everything that we want to see happen in Lytham, it ain't going to happen. What it needs is that for vision to happen, vision can be cast, but ultimately it takes an army of people to grab onto it and then say, do you know what? We can help make this happen. So I can give you as much vision as you want. I can give you as many things as we think that we could possibly do. But let me tell you this. Ultimately, it's down to each one of us playing our part and making this thing happen. We're only going to see lives restored is if we grab hold of God and begin to do things. It has to come down to the fact of is that ultimately, I totally believe this. That God helps people that help themselves. You might say, well, that's an old wives' tale. No, if you look back in Scripture, God blesses so often, but there's a huge caveat that happens. If my people pray, humble themselves and pray, then I will restore their land. God says he'll restore the land, but he wants us to do something. So often we think that God will just and it'll happen. No. 9 times out of 10, it don't happen like that. He wants me and you to partner with him in this great commission to see God do something great. So we have to play our part. So are we ready?
Yeah.
Are we excited?
Yeah.
Just me and Luke then. Good. The first thing I want to talk about is this next week, we have what we call week of prayer, which will be happening here at the church, and we want each one of you to get on board with this. This is more than just praying. This is actually, I believe, making space for God to do what only he can do. You see, what I'm asking you to do on both sites is this, is to not only pray, but maybe fast. Now you might say, what, fasting? What? Have I got to give up all my food? No. What I would ask you to do though, is maybe make some space for God to do what only he can do. And what that means is that what you have to do is that you might have to do something. So this next week, I know that there are people in this room that are going to skip one meal. That's fine. Now, I'm saying all this, if you have a medical condition where you have to eat, don't be stupid. God's given us common sense, and I say that with all reverence, because sometimes we just, oh, well, no, let me tell you, if you need to eat, you've got to eat, all right? But you know, some of us are going to be kind of fasting. Now, it might not be food. You might say, oh, food. Or fast between breakfast and lunch. I know how you lot think, all right? It may be that, and I'm not going to single out the young people in this, but it may be that some of you go, do you know what? I'm going to go a week without social media. What? Let me tell you, for some people, that's harder than food. The reason that Facebook has been renamed Wastebook, there's a reason for it. That's by me, by the way. Okay? It may be that this week you say, do you know what? Those times that I would jump on social media and maybe post a picture of what I'm just about to eat, why do we do that? You know, oh, look at this lovely spag bol that I'm just about to eat. You know what I mean? Maybe in those times where we think, where we are going to post something, why don't we say, do you know what? I'm not going to go on social media this week, and I'm just going to spend those couple of moments praying. You see, our prayers don't have to be long prayers. We just have to be in communication with God. And for some people, it will be a massive, massive shift. But I think that as we individually, let me tell you, individually create space for God, it creates something corporately which moves us into momentum. If we want to see God do something great in our churches, we have to actually create space for God to do what only He can do. So individually, you may make the decision, well, I'm going to go without one meal. That's fantastic. In those times where you were eating, even if it's just for 10 minutes, begin to pray. Begin to pray. As you see on your seats, at both here and Lytham, you've been given one of these cards, and it's just our week of prayer, and it has everything on there for every day that we are going to be praying for. Every single day, we're going to be praying for something different. And I want to encourage you, is that if you can make it, come down to the church, 7 a.m., Monday, Tuesday, 7 p.m., Wednesday, 7 a.m., Thursday, Friday, 8 a.m., Saturday, followed by some food. And what we are going to do is that we're going to pray together. I would encourage you, make the effort to come out, because maybe your breakthrough is actually in line with something that you need to sacrifice. Maybe the breakthrough that you're looking for, God is looking for you to do something before He moves. And even if you can come for just half an hour, or maybe you can come for a quarter of an hour, we have people that come on a Thursday morning to our Thursday morning prayer meeting, and they'll be here for half an hour or so, and then they have to go to work. That's fine. But let me tell you, when you start your day off by saying, God, I'm going to put you very first before I do anything else, it does make a whole difference to your day. And in the middle of that, maybe you want to fast. Maybe you want to fast a meal, or maybe you want to fast social media. Maybe you want to fast McDonald's. I don't know what it is you want to fast, but maybe just, I would say, do something, because in the sacrifice of fasting something, I believe God can do something. I really do believe it. It's right the way through Scripture. You know, I'm not asking you to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm asking you to do one little thing. And in it, I believe, and do you know what? Selfishly, the reason I'm asking you to do it, because I believe that when a church grabs hold of the fact of both praying and fasting, it releases something. So I'm asking you to do it selfishly, because I want our church to be the very best it can be. But also selfishly, I want to see you the very best that you can be. So fasting is something that I believe that we can do. So I would ask you to pray about it. You know, some of you, let me tell you this. If you're still praying about what you should fast on Wednesday, don't bother. You've missed the boat, all right? Sometimes we can get so super spiritual about, well, God hasn't told me. No, half the time, God doesn't need to tell you. You just need to do it in Jesus' name. All right? You're looking at me going, honestly, 99.9% of God's will for your life is common sense. Everyone's gone incredibly quiet. I believe that's true. So that's what we're going to be doing. So take one of these, put them in your Bible. At Life Church, I know at Lytham, you've only got the smaller one, but here at Life Church, we have the larger variety as well for the more impaired of vision, all right? And the reason we did that was because I looked at them and I said to Suzanne, that is amazing. And then I handed them to Rachel and she went, I can't even see that. That's true. So we had some larger ones done for people that need their sight restoring in Jesus' name. So that will be happening. So please take one of them and that will be great. I'm going to very quickly hand you over to Luke, who is going to come up and just tell us a little bit about what's going to be happening with Connect Groups this year. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. For those of you that have been around Life Church for any length of time, you'll understand how important Connect Groups are. As our church is growing, and Aaron shared about that last week, where we grew last year by 19%. As the church grows, then we need our community groups to get smaller. It's impossible to know everybody, to talk to everybody, to be best friends of everybody. So it's really important that you have a smaller group that on a weekly basis you can meet with, you can pray with, you can read the Bible with, you can have fun with, you can journey with, the good times and the bad. So Connect Groups at Life Church are super, super important. And I know at Lytham, you guys are going to be launching Connect Groups now, which is going to be really important for you guys as well. So I've got some great news. We've got two new Connect Groups starting this year, which I think is absolutely fantastic. I think that deserves a round of applause. And we're going to be highlighting who those leaders are next week. But what I want you to do today, and you can either do this right now, or you can do this at the information point or at some point today. But if you go onto the website, mylifechurch.co.uk, you'll see at the top it will say Connect Groups, and there's a little button saying Connect. If you click on that for me and fill out all of your information, basically what we want to do is we want to make sure that the Connect Group we think you're in is the actual Connect Group that you're in. And if you're not in a Connect Group, that we can get you in a Connect Group. So you can fill in your information, and then what you do is at the bottom, there's a little tick box. Are you in a Connect Group? Yes, tick that, and you can scroll through and find your Connect Group leader. And if you tick no, then that will allow us to note, that will notify us, and that will mean that this week we can get you in a Connect Group ready for the new series that's going to be starting the week commencing the 4th of February next week, my birthday, just throwing it out there, just in case you really wanted to write me a card. It's the 4th of February, and yes, I will be 30. Badges are welcome as well. But you can fill that in. That's really important. Some of you are like, oh, you've already got my information. Yes, we do. But it would just be really helpful if you can just fill it in. Just so we've got clean data. People change mobile numbers or email addresses. So that's really important. It will take you no longer than 3 minutes. So you can either do that on your phone or come and see me at the information point. We're going to have a couple of laptops open there and you can fill that in. If we can get everybody in this room to fill it in before they leave, that means that we can make sure you're in a Connect Group. Because we don't want anybody coming in on a Sunday, enjoying a great service, but then leaving and feeling unconnected, like they're not part of the family. Because even in a crowd, you can feel lonely. And we don't want that to happen. We want everybody to have a place where they can call home. So please, please make sure you do that before you leave today. Lytham, you need to go and see John and Ruth. You need to get your name down for the Connect Group that's going to be starting up there. And that's going to be really important. So get ready. Connect Groups start next week and it's going to be super fun. So thank you.
Super. Just on a side note, I forgot to say this during the prayer bit that I said, is that on Wednesday night, we are having a prayer meeting here for 1 hour that will be happening in the main hall here. That night, I'm going to be in Lytham. Lytham, you're going to be doing exactly the same as us here. And I'm going to be in Lytham on Wednesday evening for your prayer night there at the church, which is going to be amazing. So that's kind of prayer and fasting. How many people are going to kind of take up the challenge and do something with regards to prayer and fasting? That should be every hand, praise God. That's very, very good. And if you're not in a Connect group, that is really, really important. One of the challenges that we have here at the church is this building is both an incredible blessing, but it is also, I don't want to be ungrateful, but a massive millstone around our necks. We have so much work that continually goes on here at the church. And one of the ways that we can get on top of a lot of the stuff that happens here, we're going to be doing exactly the same in Lytham, is called an I Love My Church Week. Okay? It's really simple. It's really easy. What you do is that you sign up and you come down, and maybe there's a wall that needs painting. Maybe there is a little bit of building work that we can do. But that is going to be happening during the year. It will happen later on in the year, but we wanted to let you know about it now, that this year we're going to do another I Love My Church week here at the church. That will be happening here, and it will also be happening in Lytham. Bottom line is that we want this place, we want both churches to be the very best they can be and in as inviting as impossible. This is our home. This is your home. And this is where you come. This is where you worship. And I believe that God deserves the very, very best that we can give him. You know, when we have guests that come round to our home, 9 times out of 10, what will happen is that Rachel will say to me, Aaron, you need to get the Hoover out or whatever. Let's clean up a bit. Let's make the place look as though, you know, it's tidy. And why? Because it's our home. And I'm sure it would be the same for you guys. If you invite people around to your home, you want it to be the very best it can be. You want it to be hospitable. And for us here at the church, and when it's one of the values that I believe in, that we are constantly in a battle with making this the very best it can be. And it's the same for Lytham. We want your church to be the very, very best it can be. And I believe that if we do an I Love My Church Week, it gives ownership. It really, really does. You know, this place is, as I say, an incredible blessing. I know so many people that would give their right arm for something like this building. But let me tell you, there's a lot of upkeep on it. A lot of upkeep. And, you know, we have to make sure that if you see a piece of litter, that you pick it up. If you see a cup that is out on the side, pick it up. And that is amazing. Rachel's looking at me going, why are you talking about it? Because it's just a bee in my bonnet. Because there we go. Third thing is this, is that we're doing another Israel trip. We are going to be going back to Israel. That is happening in October, half term. If you have already put your name down for that, we are just in the process now of finalizing kind of the price for that. Lytham, if you guys want to know more about going to Israel, can you please put your name down with either Ruth or with John up there? And we can give you the information when it comes out. But we're going to be taking a whole host of people back to Israel this year. Let me tell you, it is a life-changing experience. It really, really is. And it's a great place to be. And I really, really enjoyed my time over there. And we had a great time together. And it was brilliant. So we're going to be going back to Israel in October. The next thing is this. Sorry, as I say, this is just information, okay? It's just information. How many people last year came to our Passover meal? Yeah? We had limited places of 60 places. This year, we are going to open it up and we want to get 100 people at Life Church, and we want to get 30 people at Lytham to go through the Passover meal. It is an incredible evening. It is absolutely brilliant. And this year we are going to be doing a Passover meal that will be happening on Thursday the 18th of April. On the Wednesday night, Wednesday the 17th, it will be happening in Lytham. And that will be happening up there. Paul is going to once again take us through the whole thing. So Paul will be in Lytham on the Wednesday night. And then on the Thursday night, he will be here at Life Church, and we will be doing it here again. Please, please, please book in for the Passover meal. It is just an incredible time. And last year, it was actually for me, outside of being in Israel, it was one of the most incredible nights where I felt the presence of God. It was just an incredible night. And if you don't know anything at all about Passover, well, wait and see. We're going to be preaching about it on the Sunday beforehand, and then it will be happening on the Wednesday and the Thursday in both locations. After that, on the Friday, Good Friday, we'll be having a Good Friday service here, and then we have Easter as well. The next thing that we want to look at is in October of this year, for 4 weeks, we are going to be running a marriage course here at the church. And that is going to be a great time. You're going to be with your other half in around a little table, and you can talk or argue. and that'll be amazing. And I'll sit there and just giggle. And that will be amazing. And that will be happening. That will be where you have to sign up for that. And that will be happening both here and again at Lytham. The marriage course will be happening in October. The 4 weeks in October. The seventh thing is this. Is that in Lytham, they are going to be running a course. You guys up there are going to be running a course called Freedom in Christ. And Freedom in Christ is an incredible, brilliant course that tells you, number one, who you are in Christ, your authority in Christ, and just what happens when you give your life to Jesus, that there's a freedom that comes, that where you were once bound and you are now alive to Christ. That is going to be happening in Lytham. In closing, I'm not even going to look at the front row now, but this is my idea. I do it every year and I love it. So if nobody else likes it, well, I like it. We've had stickers made. How many people like the balloons at Christmas, by the way? Yeah, you see? All right? All my ideas. We've had stickers made again. And it just says restore. And it's got this scripture, the Isaiah chapter 49, verses 18 to 20 on there. Take one of these, put it on your Bible, put it on the front. I don't know where you want to put it, but put it somewhere. And then when you see it, just think about it. Say, God, you know what? Pray for the church. Pray for the church. And that will be amazing. The other thing that we've had done, this isn't my idea, is we've had these cards made, and they say restore on the front, and then inside they say restore in me, restore in my family, restore in my church. And what we're going to ask you to do is we're asking each and every person in here to take one of these. And maybe this week, or maybe in one of your prayer times this week, is to write down 3 things that you want to see happen this year. And you're writing it in faith. You're writing it and saying, do you know what, God? I'm believing that this year I'm going to see something shift in me, in my family, in my church. And we're going to pray into it. Then what we're going to do is that maybe you are a couple, or maybe you have kids. You can do it with your kids as well. And at the back, we have got some beautiful frames here. And what we would ask you to do is to take these cards. Maybe there may be 3 or 2 or whatever. and you put it in the frame, and then you put it, I don't know, in your house somewhere, maybe in the toilet. I don't know where you want to put it. Put it on your mantelpiece. Put it on your work desk. I don't know. And then when you look at it, you can just, oh God, I pray. Pray for those things that I put in my card. And then at the end of the year, we're going to have a restore service where we're going to ask people to bring back their cards. And then we're going to thank God for what he's done, because I'm believing that God's going to restore many things this year. I'm believing that God is going to do something great in this place. And what a better way to do it than to actually bring these cards back out and say, do you know what? God, you did this. In January, I believe for this, and God, you did it. Why? But do you know what? There's an effort on our part. We have to pray. We have to focus in on it. So, you know, be a person that understands that we need to focus our prayers, not general prayers, but pray into it and go, God, I'm believing that this year, we're going to restore hair. Shut your face, hair. Do you know what, right? This is totally off topic, and I know with time's gone. What would happen if one week I came in with air? What would you all do? You never know what might happen. My birthday's in October. Chili and Andy Harris. You know exactly what I'm talking about, the two of you. You said it. Maybe I'll do it. They were going to buy me a wig. A proper wig. Lord Jesus, restore my hair in Jesus' name. Focus, Rachel says. Hey, we're going to pray. If you don't want to put it in a frame, by the way, we have envelopes at the back as well. And you can put it in an envelope. But I would sincerely ask each one of you, take one of these at the back and pray into it. The other thing that we have, and this is just my own little gimmick, I asked... Sue to design a wallpaper for people's phones. If you want the image that we're using for your phone, and it's just another way of just, God, I pray, restore this year. It's just another way of doing it. If you want that wallpaper, it's a great image actually. It looks pretty cool on my phone. If you want the image, see Suzanne, and she can sort that out for you. Because she's got all the kind of the bits that go with it. So if you want to do that, that's just amazing. Hey, can we stand together? Time's gone. Next week, we will be... it will be the final day of our week of prayer together. And we're going to be praying for the generations. And next week, what we're going to be doing is that we're going to get young people praying for older people and older people praying for younger people, because we're in this together. We're in this as a family. This isn't about one group of people. This is about the church. Generations, each one of us making our part in seeing God do something great. And that will be happening next Sunday. But just before we finish, I want everyone to close their eyes. We're not going to sing a song to finish. Some of you may not be familiar with this, but if you are, help me out. And I want everyone in this room to begin to pray. Everyone begin to pray right now. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to create an atmosphere just for one more moment, where God can come and do what only He can do. Father God, we pray right now that in the name of Jesus, that God, that you will restore what the locusts have eaten. That Father, where people need joy, that you will restore unto them the joy of their salvation. And that God, that this year will be a year where you will do what only you can do. That Father, we pray for every single card that is going to be written on, where people are going to write things about themselves, about their family, and about our church, that God, I pray that prayers will be answered And that God, that you will come in like a flood. And that Lord Jesus, that you will restore, oh Father, many situations and many circumstances that need a touch from you. And Father, we thank you for our church. Father, we thank you for this place. Father, we thank you for the people that have gone before us. And Father, sacrificed so much so that we could be here today. Father, we thank you for them. God, we thank you for Jill and we thank you for Steve. Father, we thank you for their leadership over the years. God bless Steve this morning, oh God. And Father, we thank you for every other church that's represented in and around here. That God, that you will bless them. That Father, as you bless us, God bless them too. And that Lord Jesus, that this year we will see many, many churches bursting and people saying it's too crowded in here. Why? Because there's so many people that are coming in and recognizing and having a restoration of their lives, relationships, their health, oh God. And that, Lord Jesus, that you are going to do something great in this place. Father, bless us and give us a great rest of the day in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Let's give God some praise. Come on.